We've taken 4 weeks, counting today and next Sunday, to just spend some time in Romans chapter 5. We're going to be talking about it in our small groups. God loves you. God loves you. He really, really loves you. God loves you. God loves you more than anyone else, because God has more capacity than anyone else. God's all-powerful and all-knowing. He's perfect in power, perfect in understanding. So God understands you more than anyone else. So no one is able to love you the way that God loves you. God loves you. Loves you so much. You just saw some stuff this week in the media that just reminded me of how much stuff we have gone through since 2020. And I was just like, man, this has been, whoa, like what a 4 years. The things that we have gone through, from COVID to, police brutality in our faces and injustices and racism and misogyny and the abuse of people and suffering and wars and on, just like, I don't want to weigh you down, but I was just like thinking about, wow, we have been through a lot. But my thought was, we have been through a lot together. Like, here we are. Here we still are. A few weeks ago, I talked about how does God see our church? If you had to miss that, please go back and listen to that. God loves you. And God sees how hard it's been. God sees how painful it's been. And really more challenging than any of the current events that I rattled off, the personal challenges, the people in this room, and I know some are traveling for the spring break so they can be here next Sunday for Easter. Everybody who's here and not here, God has seen your personal challenges. And God loves you. God loves you. And the big message, the God thought, the simple thing that's powerful, that makes a big difference, we're drawing out of Romans 5, is that Jesus brings joy. And there's a profound, you read the first 5 or 6 verses of Romans chapter 5, and today we're going to go to the end of Romans chapter 5. There is a profound, strong, that says this joy is going to strengthen you in your whole person. In your spirit, in your soul, in your body. This joy is going to increase the strength of your spirit and your soul. It's going to make it so that you can go through the challenges of life and not be defeated, overwhelmed, overcome, and actually ride through them like a ship that's a little bit lighter, riding higher in the water. It actually says, those first 5 or 6 verses, that the joy of the Lord that we get through Jesus, through salvation in Jesus, is going to cause you to ride higher through the waves. God loves you. God loves you with a profound grace. We're going to focus today on God's grace. Big topic, simple topic, but a deep topic that I guarantee you there is something encouraging and relevant in this for you today. Thank you, man. That's good. I'm glad. Let's get into it. We're talking about cultivating joy. You know, I've talked about this. This is something that God's been kind of working on me for the last few months. And by making decisions to cultivate joy, and it's funny, like we all make mistakes, right? So even one of the things that I thought about is my choices of entertainment. And you know, like a lot of entertainment is like create, whether it's sports or streaming stuff or whatever, it creates pretend high stakes, like this matters. like this character in this show or this sports team, would like it matter? It really matters to your life. And the idea for it to be entertainment is it draws you in to distract you from the challenges of your life, right? It's the distraction that's kind of like altering you, like substance abuse. It's like altering how your life affects you. That's what entertainment does. But the problem is that some of this entertainment is a drag. That at the end of the day, we're watching how many murders, how much depressing, overwhelming, sinful behavior that actually is, or all the dystopian stuff or the sci-fi stuff that's actually depressing. And so we might, and I'm into this, right? Because, you know, once upon a time I wrote plays and did things, and I love story and I love character and all this stuff. And so I even found myself this week thinking about, you know what I should do to cultivate joy is be more careful with my choices of entertainment, because how it actually affects my soul, right? And then I watched this show when I was resting. It was a drag. And I got to the end of it and was like, I did the one thing that I thought I should tell people not to do. I did it. I kept it going. I kept thinking, no, there's going to be a light note at the end. At the end, it'll be uplifting. They'll laugh and say to each other, oh, but everything's okay. But it didn't. It ended depressing. So we all make mistakes. We all need grace. We all need God's great grace, God's surprising grace. And this morning we're talking about cultivating joy by receiving the sacrifice of Jesus, the life of Jesus, as grace. Super important, because when you're new in the faith, or no matter how long you've attended church buildings, it's easy to actually drift into a merit-based, a transactional relationship with God, where actually deep in your emotions, you feel like if you had a bad week or didn't do the things you should have done for God, that He doesn't love you. But see, the thing with grace is that it's love you don't deserve. And it's super important. Maybe I would propose the most important thing about your life is how you view God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so sometimes we need questions. Chris says sometimes my questions can feel a little combative. Sometimes we need questions that help us examine, do I view who God really is? Okay, long intro, promise we're going to get to the scripture. You know, one of the things that's really tragic is when somebody relates to you in such a way that reveals that they view you in a way that's not who you really are. And maybe, like me, you've experienced finding that out where someone was actually gossiping about you. And someone might say something about you that's not true that affects how another person views you, and it's not who you really are. And most of the time, it's not a total lie. Most of the time, it's just twisted. It's taking something that is truthful about you and something that's not true about you, and it's twisting those things together. But then a person gets a view about you that's not true. See, people can say that I am a certain way because that's what they perceive or that's what they've heard, but it doesn't make it true. Right. Now, I need to accept criticism and grow and change, and we need that reflection, and we need patience in relationships so that we can come to the truth. But what happens is we do this with God. God doesn't like this, and God doesn't want us to behave like this, and God doesn't like this politics and this thing and that thing. And actually what can happen is we get a twisting of the truth of who God is with a deception. And we see that right in the beginning with Adam and Eve and all the way through, right? So what I want to do is untwist, help each of us ask ourselves some good questions to untwist so that we actually know who God really is. Because what we see in Romans 5 and in Psalms is often quoting Exodus 34, 6 and 7, when God came down and said who He really is. And one of the essential ingredients in that is grace. So it's really important that we relate to God based on who He really is. Okay, let's get some scripture for the next 20 minutes or so. Romans 5, verse 6, in the NCV, which is one of the ones on your paper. When we were unable to help ourselves, That's important truth. At the right time, Christ died for us, although we were living against God. God shows his great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. It's certainly, from a chronological, historical viewpoint, that's true for all of us. God didn't wait for you to get your stuff together. God didn't wait for you to be on your best behavior. When you were at your worst, God sent Jesus the Son as Savior and King, who took your sins upon himself on the cross, suffered and died, and rose again, proving this miracle that when we were at our best, God loved us through the sacrifice of Jesus. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. This is the NLT, the New Living Translation of Romans chapter 5, verses 20 and 21. And I think that it does the best job of a spiritual truth, thought for thought, translation of the original Greek here, using the other passages in Romans to tell us what the truth is. I think this is really good, really brings in, and we're just going to focus the rest of our time on these two verses. I think it's but it pulls in truth from other scripture. God's law, so their understanding of that, when they heard that, they would think about Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's what they would think of when they heard God's law. So that would include love God with the best of your energy. That would include don't murder and things of that nature, right? God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. The standard is there so that you can see that you need salvation, so that you could recognize that you need a Savior. That's why we were all in it. We're all in it together. We talked about it last week. We can't other other people because we're all in it. We've all been sinful. And guess what? We were all sinful before we were aware that we were sinful. And there's a lot of scripture about that. But it's important for us to understand this. This is a part of the truth. It's there to help us see. And that's even what Jesus, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. And that means who are aware of their spiritual need. And that's what is being talked about here. God sent the law so that we could see how sinful we are. But as people sinned, watch this, more and more. Have you ever experienced that for yourself or seen it in other people? Not just one, but it's more and more mistakes, missing the target, right? As people sin more and more, watch this, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. When your sin increased, God's grace was abounding. It was overflowing. It's more than you need. If there's any scripture, truth, that should cause us to actually be a little intoxicated in the spirit, meaning getting you into an altered state that's not totally just based on logic, but that is like, whoa, this is too much for me. I get a happiness that's not just based on my circumstances. The reformers actually wrote about this, and they wrote about this with that analogy of drunkenness. It's not my carnality. They said in discovering the doctrine of grace, and this is in the Reformation, right? We remember in November 1st that it was like we went down to the basement and found something that was 1500 proof. When you translate it from the German, that's what it says. We found something that was the most powerful. We were intoxicated by God's grace. That's what they wrote about this verse. The teaching, the truth, the doctrine of God's grace is more than we need. So we need to receive it as such. Every day, God, I receive your grace that is more than I need. God, I receive your grace that is more than I need. Watch verse 21. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, and there's a lot in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 about this. Sin brings a breaking of relationship. It's a spiritual translation, and the doctrine of sin in Scripture includes a breaking of relationship. That's the death separation. When we die, there's a physical separation of our spirit from our physical body. The same thing, the wages of sin is death. It brings a separation. If there's anything that you should be the most concerned about with the end times, heaven and hell, and all these other doctrines and prophecies and things, that you should be concerned about not being separated in your relationship with God. That should be the deepest motivating factor. What I want more than anything else is I don't want to be separated from the one true living God, who is the only true source of real love, grace, peace, joy. Because his grace is more than enough. So verse 21, just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death. Anytime I'm considering a temptation, I need to think in the end of that thing is death. Yeah. You get over and over these scriptures, but choose life. God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing relationship with God, we talked about last week, and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Where sin increases, God's wonderful grace abounds. It increases, it overflows. And folks, I do suggest, I know some of you don't want me to go back to this analogy, that we should be intoxicated with the grace of God. It should give you the giggles. You should have moments in your day that you just giggle. Because God loves you more than you need. It's undeserved favor. Look at, real quick, let's get to the translation. The Bible word grace, undeserved favorable kindness. You don't deserve it. It includes favor. It also includes the idea of a gift that's given with delight and a generous spirit. It is Bible. If we do a word study on grace, you're going to come away with this concept that God has fun giving this gift we don't deserve, and that God enjoys and has fun when we delight in the gift. When we delight in God, when we enjoy, when we giggle about who God is, when we have joy and laughter and giggle about the grace that God gives us, God takes delight in that. Did you know that God laughs? The prophet saw God singing over us. God takes delight. You could do a Bible search on the phrase delight in. Many times in the scripture it says that God delights in his people. He takes delight in you. That means that giving you grace that's more than enough, he's not languishing, he's not suffering in giving you grace. The suffering is done. It is completed. It is no more. The gift of God, the supernatural life that God raised Jesus from the dead, from then on, God is taking joy in giving you grace you don't deserve. God enjoys it. He has fun. So when we stop and think, is there something dark in my past that I've not allowed God to forgive? Is there something deep? Is there something that has affected us that we have not actually really spent time with God and allowed God to forgive? Are you holding back on something that is the best miracle God can do for you?
Yeah.
What did God say about, what did Jesus say about the miracle of raising the man who couldn't walk? So what is the greater miracle? Causing him to be able to walk or forgiving his sins? Let us not hold back. There's mental health studies that prove that stress shortens our life. God does not want you carrying around. There's a verse that talks about the difference between godly guilt and worldly shame. And the concept is, listen, if you are guilty about something, it can only be good if it motivates you to confess it as wrong to God, say that was wrong, shouldn't have done it, and with your grace, I promise I'm never going to do it again. I'm never going to do it again, and receive the forgiveness. That's the only good part of guilt. That's what the scripture says. And then from there, shame and all that stuff is bad. That's why Romans 5, 6, 7, it leads to 8:1. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you putting on yourself condemnation? Stop it. God takes delight when you receive grace. And for this to be real to you, for this to be just so real to you that the people you spend time with at work and in the neighborhood and around, for them to be able to smell it, not in the doctrine that you specifically say, but for them to be able to smell it, for them to be able to hear it, for you to be contagious, more contagious than COVID, more contagious than a head cold, for you to be contagious with Jesus, you've got to make sure that you are receiving and delighting in a grace that is more than you need to the deepest of the deep.
That's right. Yes.
Good.
So let's pray right now. If you, when I just mentioned that and you just immediately, you feel guilty about something. When I just talk about maybe there's something deep, something dark that you haven't let God forgive. Let's just interact with it right now. Let's not stay there. John wrote that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. So right now, is there any area, anything that you have not received the grace of God? Right now, as I pray, I want you to confess it as wrong, and I want you to make a fresh commitment to live for God, to make him happy, and to receive the abounding, overflowing grace. God, we come to you. There is nothing we can hide from you. You know exactly what's going on. You know exactly what we need. And God, we do say, there has been sin in our hearts or in our actions or in our words. We confess it as wrong. We ask, would you please forgive us? Cleanse us. Free us from shame. Free us from the penalty of sin. Because of Jesus, pour out your overwhelming, overflowing grace into our spirits until it fills everything, 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 every area, every memory, every thought, every tendency, every habit. Pour your grace that you would shape us, the Holy Spirit, you would renew our thinking and our feeling. Our attitudes, our feelings, our thoughts, our evaluations, and our decisions. We say, God, come fill us completely to overflow with your grace, with your new life. We say, God, shape our appetites, shape our desires, shape our cravings. We want you to be what we crave more than anything else. We want you to be what fulfills us more than anything else. We say, God, fill us to overflowing with your loving grace. Lord, out of an overflow, we would live out of a thank you, thank you, thank you, delighting in you as you delight in us. Break the chains, break off the enemy, his agents, works, and effects. Let there be new life in us, in our thinking, in our feeling, in our evaluations, in our decisions, in our tendencies. Let there be new life. Thank you for it, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Isaiah predicted that God would show grace to his people by delivering them and all creation from death and ruin in Isaiah 30, 18 through 19. Jesus is described as God's glorious grace sent into a world of people trapped in darkness and death. Jesus is a generous gift of life that is more powerful than death. In Romans 5:17, we see that God graciously sent us Jesus Christ, who defeated sin and death. Jesus defeated sin and death. That means that he has won the victory. You are free when you receive him to not be punished for your sin and free to not repeat it. Super important. And again, the notes are in the Church Center app, and there's a conversational pathway that's in there about the good news of Jesus that will really help you in sharing it and sharing it with others. I think it's so important is for this to be deep and personal, and then for us to realize when we look at others who may be overcome with their sin, that this doctrine of grace informs how God feels about them. This is the key to revival in Baltimore City.
Amen.
So what do we learn? God has shown us love by sending Jesus as Savior. God offers gracious freedom from sin. A life-giving, life-changing relationship with God produces joy. A state of happiness, an attitude that we adopt, that is a posture, it's a position we take regardless of circumstances. We can all, that was week one, we talked about that as a truth that we get from a word study and also from the first five or six verses of Romans 5. We can all cultivate joy by receiving God's gracious freedom from sin and choosing to live in it. And any moment, you can say, God, I receive your abounding grace for me. Jesus brings joy. Even where sin increases, God's grace increases all the more. So what should we do? Ask yourself if you are receiving... Oh, I didn't correct the slide. Sorry. Ask yourself if you are receiving the sacrifice of Jesus as grace. It's so easy to just drift over the years, slip into relating to God on a merit-based theology, making it a transactional relationship with God instead of a living relationship with God. I hope so much that all of you in your relationship with Rebecca and me, it's not transactional. Oh, I have to do this for them to love me. Oh, heck no. I am not here living here for that kind of a relationship. And that's not supposed to be our relationship with God. I got to do this for God to love me. I got to do this for me to feel good about being in God's presence. Whoa, stinking thinking. Ask yourself if you're receiving the sacrifice of grace of Jesus as grace. Ask God for help in understanding Romans 5 as you read it. Grow in your understanding by writing your questions and answers. The thing that's really helpful in Bible study is not all the latest book that's been sold on the subject. What's super helpful is to read the passage over and over and over, write down the things you do understand from it, write down the questions you have, and then let's pursue the answers to those questions together. That is the relational pathway that's written about all through the New Testament. That's where we can really benefit each other. Read this stuff. Write down what you believe from it. Write down what questions you have. We want to pull it apart. We want to take it apart. That's a God idea for how we approach the scripture, because the scripture is alive. Because Jesus is alive. The Holy Spirit is alive. And he uses this inspired word to help us. Whew. Consider what Jesus brings joy means to you. What does it mean to you personally? Jesus brings joy. And I hope you will consider how you can cultivate joy. Maybe entertainment decisions are part of this. Maybe lighting in your house or plants in your house. I'm serious. Think about, are there things that in my life, the environment where I live or work, what's going on in my car? Sometimes we need to clean the car so that we get in it, we're a little bit happier. Let's say it's the same thing with inside your thoughts and your emotions. Sometimes the cobwebs got to go. The stinking thinking needs to go. The negative self-talk needs to go. What is it that God wants to do in you to cultivate joy? I guarantee you, it includes receiving more of His gracious love. Let's close in prayer. God, thank You for these amazing, beautiful people who have come together for You today. Thank You for what You're doing in our lives. Thank You for the life-changing truth that we find in Your scripture. Thank You that Your grace is more than we need. It's more than we can use. It's more than we can ever experience or imagine. It goes beyond our expectations. Thank You for Your grace through Jesus and faith that brings joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for being here today. Remember the party on Saturday and the joy we'll have on Sunday. Got in the email too that on Easter Sunday, there's a 6 a.m. Inner Harbor, a bunch of churches getting together down there. That's not in place of our Easter service, Sunday 9 o'clock, which we will still have. Grace and peace to you. Have a great week.